Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning.
Video I saw.
Good morning. Sorry, I was just trying to figure out how to stop that intro. That wasn't us. It was really cool. Good morning and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We are Dynamic Word Bible Studies, where God's Word ignites powerful change. I'm your host, Felicia DeRozier. I'm joined today by my illustrious and wonderful co-host. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
This is Mariah, the favorite child.
Wow.
This is Cross, the even more favorite child.
Gauntlets have been dropped. Who's the favorite? Who knows? It's amazing. Stay tuned to find out. So, guys, we are going to be starting out today with our commercial break, of course, as usual. Today we're going to be talking about prayer and all the wonderful, exciting things they're in. I'm actually really excited about this particular show. I feel like this was an area where God really needed to teach me some things, and I hope that you can learn from that craziness. In the meantime, let's start off with a commercial break. I will see you in about 3 minutes.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hey, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Hey guys, how's it going? My son's asking when the Barefoot is Legal show is. I don't know, but we'll check the schedule later. Welcome to Dynamic Word Bible Studies yet again. We are so, so happy to have you join us. We got this really crazy start to the day because our neighbor was trying to upgrade the internet, and it's all one house that was connected. So we were talking to the internet guy until like 2 seconds before we got here. It's been a crazy morning. I was like, you can't take my internet down right now, dude. It's going to be a problem. So today we're going to be talking about prayer. Anybody in the room feel like they're like a really awesome prayer warrior? Oh, cross is going up. Cross is going up. Tell me what your secrets are to having a good prayer life.
Usually just making sure that you're acknowledging God more than yourself and more than other people, and making sure that everyone in the room feels connected to your prayer.
Okay. That's wisdom from a 10-year-old, y'all. He's a pretty smart 10-year-old, though, I have to admit. All right. So today we're going to talk about what the Apostle Paul had to say about prayer. And we don't have a special guest joining us today, so we have a secondary segment where we're actually going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer a little bit more closely. And it's going to be fun. I think that Mariah's looking at me a little bit crazy. She's going to be kind of heading up that area, and I will butt in with my usual comments. What is that?
I got this.
You got this. Okay. I know you've got this.
Yeah.
I know you've got this. She used to teach a young adults Bible study. This is actually something that she's taught on before, so she's a pro.
Actually, on Monday, me and Mom, she was telling me a little bit about it, and I'm really excited.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun part to talk about. So today, let's start out in Romans 1, 8 through 10. But before we do that, let's go ahead and hit prayer. I mean, after all, we're going to talk about prayer. Okay, so Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to share your word with the world over the internet. We're so, so thankful that you have given us your word, that we get insight and influence from your Holy Spirit as to what it is that you're trying to tell us, Lord. Help us to unpack what your word says and what it means and what Paul meant by it when he originally said it, and help us to be able to give that to the audience today, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit fall on us, and let the Holy Spirit fall on our listeners. To give us more clarity, more insight, and to powerfully move and change us in this hour and a half we have together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Woo! So let's hit our text today. We've been going through Romans, and I would say we're rolling through Romans. We're going really slow, right? Like, we're going really slow. So the whole thing is that I was challenged by a professor to try to preach through a book of the Bible. This is the result of that. And he said not to preach chapter by chapter, but verse by verse, subject by subject, topic by topic, so that you really get what was being said. So we decided to go with Romans, and it is a process. I wonder how long it's going to take us to get through the whole book.
It's already been a month, and we still haven't gone through. Like,
the first chapter.
Yeah,
half of it. We haven't gone through half of it.
Yeah, and I'm going to say I have the next two teachings lined up already, and we'll still be in the first chapter. Well, it'll still be in the first chapter, but totally different topic, so it's amazing. So we're going to read Romans 1, 8 through 10. So if you're sitting at home, you have your Bible, then please do that. We will be taking callers at the end of the hour, so that last 27-minute segment, I'll let you know when to call in. I'll give you the number. Otherwise, you can hop on the chat. We are open at the chat right now. That might be a little too technical for me to handle everything, so we'll probably have Mariah keep an eye on the chat just because I have enough trying to run the switchboard and doing the ads and everything. So our text today, first I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Sorry, my computer gave me a notification. It distracted me. Because your faith is proclaimed in all the world, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may at last succeed in coming to you. That's Romans 1, 8 through 10. What do you think? Good verse?
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the kinds of verses that I'm going to honestly say were speed bumps for me. I used to skip over them. Am I going to be real here? That's not what we consider the meaty, juicy part of the epistle, is it? No.
No, not at all.
But I'm going to tell you there's like a whole teaching of prayer right there, okay? Really what we want to talk about is how learning to pray deepens our relationship with God and with others. Did you ever notice that you can't like pray for somebody and stay mad at them?
Well,
I mean, I can't. I don't hold grudges well.
See, I play the Godfather music. I can hold a grudge. That is not an issue for me. I think during prayer, sure, yeah, I can be nice about it. And, you know, God convicts your person. As soon as I'm done praying, though, then it's like, but you know what? I'm still mad.
So the spoiler alert is that we're supposed to pray without ceasing.
I know.
Okay, so let's talk about this. What makes our prayers effective? So Jesus warns us about having like showboating prayers that are all about self-elevation, but we often wonder what effective prayer actually looks like. I think that we have a tendency to compare ourselves to people that we consider prayer warriors, like, you know, the person in church who stands up and gives the official prayer, or maybe that lady who carries around her anointing oil. Okay. Confession, I do actually carry around anointing oil in case I need it. But, you know, the one that has it on her neck, right, who comes to church ready to pray for people and lays hands, and she's a powerful prayer warrior. And you're like, I just don't pray like that. We don't have always these long words, prayer closets. I don't always have those, and I'm generally not carrying my prayer closet in my pocket. And then we watch movies. Right? Okay. And Christian movies have their place and they're awesome. Okay. Except how many of us watch the Christian movies, see the little old lady praying, and we're like, man, I wish I could pray like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Cross is raising his hand right now. Right. And at the end of the day, we almost feel like our prayers don't make it. Like they don't make the cut because I don't pray like that one. So let's see what Paul says about how he practices prayer. Now, think about the Apostle Paul, how many people he knew. He had to pray for everybody and every church that he planted every day. What do you think he would accomplish?
Absolutely nothing. He would never leave the room.
Right. Like there's just too much, right? So how does he do it? Okay, so the first thing that he says about how he prays is that he prays in thankfulness, right? He says, first of all, I thank God for all of you. Actually, keep that verse open because I want to be able to refer back to it. Let's see here. It says here, first, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you. So he's praying in thankfulness, okay? And it's totally cool. Look, we all have those times where we're praying because there's an emergency and we need God to fix something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we can be real here, right? Okay, sometimes we have emergency prayers. We're like, God, if you'll just fix this, we're trying to barter and negotiate with God. But are we approaching God with thankfulness? Like the first thing is there's so many blessings every day. We can be thankful to God that we woke up, that we're healthy, we're moderately healthy, whatever. I woke up with a headache today. but thankful that we were woken up and that we have another day. The word here is eucharistos, which means to give thanks. I thought it was really interesting that it's the same root word that we use for the elements of communion, which is the Eucharist. That's where that word is derived from, is from this word that means to give thanks. Kind of cool, right? I don't know. Like, I didn't grow up going to church, so I never got to ask the question why we call it the Eucharist. Now I know. I learned something. To give thanks. The first element of his prayer is that he shares that he prays with thanksgiving. The Roman church was already facing severe persecution. He's making some really serious choices as to how he's approaching it here. He could be praying against the evil in this world. He could be praying for their safety. He could be praying against persecution. He could be praying against their enemies. But instead, he's praying in thankfulness for the faithfulness of the saints. So, like, that is a very serious choice. And maybe that's a choice that we need to consider as we're praying through some of our challenges, is to pray in thankfulness, thankful that God is with us through those challenges, thankful that, you know, God's going to deliver us through, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think of that?
I think it's good. It's really good. There's a lady at my church, and we call her Auntie. And
call everybody Auntie.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We call everybody Auntie.
It's a Hawaiian church. Everybody's aunties and uncles and cousins.
Aloha. But anyway, at first, like, this lady, she would pray with everything she did. And at first, I thought she was, like, a total nut job. I was like, what kind of church am I in? Because we'd be washing mason jars. She'd be like, Lord, thank you so much that we'd be washing the mason jars, that we'd be cleaning them as you cleaned us. And I'd be like, okay, whatever. And then she starts sweeping. She'd sweep the church floor. I'd be like, Lord, thank you so much for the aches and pains in my bones that you just remind me that I'm alive. She's like spitting out the gospel in every sentence she's saying. And at first I thought it was excessive, but that just showed her strength as a prayer warrior. And she really took into practice, like, pray through, how did you say it? Pray, never stop praying?
Without ceasing.
Without ceasing, there it is.
Yeah. And definitely making choices. Like, we can choose to approach our ailments, like, you know, my headache today or my achy hip, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We can choose to be frustrated by our ailments, or we can choose to be grateful and thankful through those. And I think that Paul is definitely making a choice here, because instead of praying against the persecution, instead of praying for their safety, what he is stating, and I'm sure he's doing that too, like, let's be honest, okay? But what he's saying is that he is praying in thankfulness for their steadfast faith, which evidences God's work in their lives. How cool is that? Because when we're standing up in the face of danger and persecution and hardship, and we're still standing directed to the Lord and serving the Lord, that's evidence for God's goodness and God's glory here on earth, because things are going to be bad on earth. Like, the Bible says so. Like, it's going to be rough. But what the Bible also says, that God will be there with us through it all. Number two, we've mentioned this already a little bit. Paul prays without ceasing. Now, this sounds crazy, right? What does this even look like? Is he, like, literally going around praying all the time with his eyes closed? Probably not, right? But he... I hope not. Well, you know, fortunately they weren't driving cars at the time, because that could be dangerous, right? I always have to think to myself, you know, not to pray with my eyes closed. Okay, and here's my secret, okay? Now, my kids will tell you, am I a very road ragey type of a person?
Not really. Nope, but I am.
Okay, then I'm going to share a secret with you that's going to help you, I think, okay? Cross may have noticed it, because he rides back seat with me, okay? Because people do, they drive, I'm not even going to say inconsiderately, but just carelessly and dangerously sometimes, right? What do I do when I get cut off or something like that? Do I road rage?
No.
What do I do when I see an accident or I see someone driving dangerously?
You start praying.
So instead of road raging, I know this is going to sound terrible and horrible. Don't turn me off for this, okay? Don't turn the show off for this. The kids have nothing to do with this content. I really did get into the practice of praying for the person. The person who cut me off, Lord, I hope that you keep them safe. They're not driving very well, Lord. Help them to slow down and stay safer and keep all the other people on the road safe. You know, when we pass by an accident that's been slowing down traffic, we start praying for those people in the accident, right? Instead of just gawking and looking at them. That's just that example of praying in the moment when you have the opportunity. Poor Mariah has a look of conviction on her face or something. What's going on there?
I don't wanna. It feels justified to be angry.
It does feel justified to be angry sometimes, but you know, they're God's creation. They bear the image of the Lord. Like, you know, we all make unsafe or unwise decisions from time to time, and I hope that I'm being covered in prayer when I do dumb things.
Which just reminds everybody who's listening while they're driving, you can't call God's creation an idiot when they're doing idiotic stuff in the road. Is that saying that you're calling God's creation an idiot? And that's not nice.
Yay. Right. So, put that in your pocket. You might have learned something from there. So he is practicing living and praying in the continual presence of God. Based on this, Paul seems to talk to God as if he's a friend on a very long road trip with him. You know how it's like when you're on a very long road trip, like maybe if you're going to the store and it's like 10 minutes down the road, you talk to your friend the whole time. But you're on a real long road trip, there are these stretches of silence where you're just in each other's presence. And you're not necessarily talking the whole time, and it's comfortable and it's okay. I kind of feel like that's how God treats, how Paul's treating the presence of God. Sometimes he's just in the presence, and then other times he understands the concept of God just being a word away. Like, he's there, and all he has to do, just like that friend on a long road trip, is turn to him and say, I'm praying for Susie right now. Basically, the word unceasing, I can't pronounce this in Greek, adialeps, I don't know how to say this. It's a Greek word, okay? I did look it up. I don't know how to say it. It didn't have a pronunciation key. And it means without necessary gaps, with nothing left between. So we're really just talking about this continual dialogue that goes on between the two of them. And he knows and lives out that effective prayer is just literally a word away at any time. So when he says he's praying without ceasing, I don't think that he's talking about literally all the time he's just talking to God, but just knowing that God's always there and that he can always shoot up a verbal prayer in an audible prayer and just know that he's always in the presence, okay? Third point that Paul makes. This is crazy. Like, this is like three sentences, okay? We've got all this teaching, right? Is that he prays in mentioning. Sorry. Sometimes I feel like I can't pray for somebody unless I have the time to pull out some anointing oil, lay hands on them, anoint them from head to feet. I have 10 minutes to spend praying over them. I can pray in tongues over them. We're in each other's presence. You know, that was really hard with COVID. Like, you couldn't actually lay hands on anybody. And sometimes I feel like if I can't make a production of it, it's not worth praying. Anybody else in the room ever feel like that? Faith can't see the nodding of your head, dude. You got to say something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever feel like that? Right?
Yeah, sure, keep talking.
Okay. So sometimes I feel like if I'm not going to be able to just, like, really sit down, get into the presence of God, like, I shouldn't even be praying in that moment. And usually I think we all do this when someone says, hey, I need you to pray for me. We go, okay, I'll pray for you. And then maybe we'll do it and maybe we don't. You know what I'm saying? But Paul says that he prays in the mentioning. There's a time and a place for focused prayer. Like, there totally is. And sometimes you're going to bury yourself in your room and you're going to sit in your prayer closet and you're going to fast and pray. But Paul indicates that that's not how all of his prayers are. Sometimes his prayers are like that, but sometimes he's just praying in the mentioning of people. Like, literally sometimes Susie is enough. Praying in the mentioning of people sometimes is enough. Could you imagine if Paul spent like prayer closet intensity prayer time over every person that he knew every day? Again, he just wouldn't get anything done ever. But he can say, I pray for the church at Rome. I pray for Priscilla. I pray for Aquila. I pray that you strengthen them. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the mentioning. And guess what? Paul thinks those prayers count. And I think sometimes we don't. Am I wrong here? Am I the only person who thinks that if I just go, got like the other morning, yesterday morning, was it yesterday? It was the day before. My husband had some things going down with work that I knew were really important that he was stressed about. And to be honest, like he works at O'Dark early, so I'm still in bed when he goes to work. And I rolled over early in the morning and I noticed he was already out of bed and I was half asleep. And I just said, God, please bless my husband at work today because he's going to have a rough day and he just needs you. And I rolled back over and went to sleep. And by the way, that prayer was not ineffective. But I think we think it is. I think that we think that we're wasting our time and our breath if we can't come in as if we're fighting a battle. Now, am I the only one alone here? Or does everybody feel like that a little bit?
I don't know. I totally feel the same way. Last night, I prayed for a few of my friends, and it wasn't those long prayers. Just, Lord, please help my friend Allie. Please help my friend this person and that person. And it felt satisfactory, but I remember, like, when I was a part of my religious phase and not relationship phase, it was, like, it felt so half-hearted, even though, like, my intentions were good. But as you were talking, it kind of reminded me of this thing that my friend showed me where, like, fireflies, when they're lighting up at night, they can kind of go, one firefly goes, another firefly goes, another firefly goes. That's fun. Try saying that three times fast. But anyway, there's other fireflies, though, that eventually their lights start to sink when they all pray. But fireflies, they don't stay lit. They turn on and off, and it's the most beautiful sight in the world. And I'm not saying like your fire needs to go out, but those little short moments are the most beautiful ones. It just takes a moment. That's all it is. It's a moment. A moment is 5 seconds or an hour, but either way, like, don't shame talking to God. It's still a conversation, even if it's a short one.
Right, right. I would agree. And I'm going to say that, you know, God taught me about the power of prayer when I started praying for my husband, who was not my husband, and really I didn't know him before I ever met him. And I was like, I don't even know this guy. It really started out as God bless Joe. God bless Joe. And I didn't know him enough to even know why. Because I didn't know him that well to even know why, it was literally just God bless Joe. And that started, not only did that start a prayer relationship between me and the Lord in intercession for Joe, but it also started a relationship towards my husband that softened my heart to someone that I really didn't know who was going through a hard time. So I want to give you guys a bonus point. We've only got 2 minutes, so we're going to kind of drive through this really quick. But the bonus point is that Paul prays about his desires, but in accordance to God's will. Ouch. That's a doozy. I want to tell you where in the scripture I evidence this too. I'm going to go back to it. And he says that he prays without ceasing, mentioning you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed at coming to you. Okay, so Paul's been praying about being able to go to Rome for a long time, but he wants to make sure that he's praying in accordance to God's will. I pray for my desires daily, but am I giving them, literally giving them to God as a sacrificial offering? Think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, how he struggles with what God calls him to do, but in the end, he was determined to fulfill God's will. Remember that in the great exchange that is made between us and Jesus when we are saved, we are dying to ourselves on the cross 2,000 years ago, and we take on his life now living as Christ, which is like a whole other thing to unpack. Our prayer must always be in accordance to God's will, and that is really going to help us have effective prayer. Do we have anything to add into that? We actually got that all nailed out in 27 minutes. We're getting better at this, guys.
Nice. Good job. No, I think you covered all of it.
Yeah. Did you guys like that scripture?
Yes.
Awesome. So we're going to
say if you did it.
Well, I mean, you know,
Sometimes the scriptures are kind of convicting, and it's not so fun to go through them. But
that's painful in a less giggly way, and more of a painful way.
Well, we haven't gotten to the questions yet. The questions might hurt. We'll see. I wrote them a couple weeks ago, so I don't know. So, guys, we're going to head to a commercial break. After that, I'm going to be turning things over a little bit more to Mariah, who's going to head up some information about the Lord's Prayer, because after all, I think if we're talking about God and we're talking about prayer, it's always nice to respond to his answer of how he says that we should pray. So until then, we will see you guys soon.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to WeFunder.com/GroundswellCard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
Barefaces Legal Radio, Saturdays, noon to 1:30 Eastern Time, Pacific Time, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Learn about your bareface rights and help keep us without face diapers.
Peter, the Korean films are my letter of recommendation. It is obvious their hearts are a letter of approval from Messiah. Dionysus from the 405 B.C. play the Baker and Jesus of Nazareth quote the same line, kicking against the pricks. That is plausible, is it not? Am I not an apostle?
Let's study this and more proof that a test of whom we love exists in the New Testament canon. Join Everlasting Covenant Study Free from Paul, which airs Saturdays noon Pacific, 1 Mountain, 2 Central, and 3 Eastern for 3 hours on Saturdays, where listeners enjoy fellowship and study of the words of Messiah versus yours, Paul. 3195276208. Saturdays at noon Pacific.
This is a host national takeover. Everybody keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times. We're going to go for a bumpy ride. Here we go. We're going into the Lord's Prayer. So.
It's a takeover.
It's a takeover. I am in charge now.
Okay.
I am the captain now.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So I've actually never seen that movie. But
I don't even know what movie you're referencing. I'm just making sure that your ego's not too big to push the rest of us off the bed.
That was a good intro, though. I like that.
That was a good intro.
Okay.
Yeah. For those of you listening at home who don't know it, we're basically doing this in our comfy bed in my bedroom. So lots of snuggling going on here.
Anyway, I'm the captain now. All right. So we're going into the Lord's Prayer. I got a lot of this information a couple of years back from Tim Mackey. So if you go ahead and look him up, you'll see a lot of things that I practically stole from him.
We spend a lot of time on the Bible Project.
Yeah, he's the co-founder of Bible Project, so you will like him. But we will go into New King James Version, Matthew 6:9-14. Does it say thou? No, it doesn't. It's New King James Version.
New King James.
Yeah, not King James. It's New King James. He got an upgrade.
All right. All right.
But, yes, all right. So first things first, I'd like to just give a little shout out to Anne Lamont, where she says, here's prayer in my life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Help me, help me, help me. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. We all just got called out. But it says in Matthew 6, verse 9, that when we pray, pray like this. These are the kingdom values and ethics, the things that were most important for Jesus when he was doing this. When the Lord's Prayer was created, it was actually a poem. And poems were usually, I don't know about you, but we are homeschoolers. And mom, whenever she needed us to memorize times tables, she had us do these stupid songs. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I still can't do my times tables without doing the song. Yeah. 19 and 27, 36 and 45, 54 and 63, 72 and 81, 9 of us come the fast. And they gave up drinking wine. 9 of us changed their ways. And they're out in groups of 9. That was a free concert for you guys.
So can I just poke in really quick and say this, is that I think that the operative word that we miss when we're reading this is that we should be praying like this or in this manner.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that this is the prayer that we're supposed to do. So just like that song that we did, we just skip counted by nines. It doesn't do us any good if we just count by nines. You have to be able to apply that knowledge and information, right?
Mm-hmm.
So skip counting by nines is the same as multiplying. So if you're counting up 9, 16, 27, 36, then I know that 36 is 9 times 4. Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But I need to know how to apply that knowledge. And this is like a poem that's meant to teach you how to pray. It is not in and of itself necessarily the prayer, although I don't think it's a bad thing to memorize the Lord's Prayer.
I memorized it.
But you memorized it. I think I memorized it. I know it.
I could do it in Latin.
I remember we did that in Latin.
Mm.
It's more nonsensical in Latin if you don't fully understand Latin, though.
Dark times. Very dark times.
Dark times. But the point isn't...
The Dark Ages, even.
but the point isn't just to be able to recite the Lord's Prayer, but to apply it, just like the point wasn't to learn to skip count by nines, but the point was to be able to apply that to multiplication. And so that's kind of what we're going to do today, right?
Right. The disciples were to memorize it, use it, and continue change. This is kind of like a skeletal structure on praying in general. So,
but we add the meat and the flesh.
Right. Yum. Goodness. Okay.
I'm just saying, I like a good steak.
All right, so let's go ahead and dive in. I'll try to be as quick, but also straight to the point as possible. Okay. So first, let's go ahead and read it. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven. So who are we praying to? We're praying to our Father, not Lord God of all heaven and earth, and thou these, and O Lord, thy sanctified servant kneels before you. No, 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 no. Thank you, thank you. But no, we're talking to Abba. We're talking to Dad.
Father.
Right. We're talking to an intimate parent, someone who is actively interested into our lives. So I think oftentimes we can forget who we're praying to.
There's a relationship there.
It's a relationship. And oftentimes our prayer, the only time we ever mention an intimate relationship is when we say, in Jesus' name. But that's kind of like a send button, you know?
Well, and I'm going to say this, is that this is something that isn't always explained, okay? But I'm just going to just really quickly put this in, because I want to say I probably only really understood this a few years ago. And that is that we're praying to our Father in heaven, God who created everything, right? And we're praying through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us in the name of Jesus Christ, which gives us the righteousness to approach him in the throne room of God. So I think a lot of times we think of ourselves as praying to Jesus or to praying to the Holy Spirit. We're praying to God through the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, little tidbit.
I like it. So first things first, when you're praying, don't forget who you're praying to. Remember that this is a relationship. It's not religion. Remember that this is a father who is actively interested in what's going on in your life. It's a relationship.
But it also talks about him being holy.
Absolutely. So that's actually what we're getting into next. This prayer is actually two sections, which is super cool. And it goes down to the two most important commandments, love God, love people. My relationship needs three directions. It needs to go up and down between me and God, and then it needs to go out to people. If my focus is just up and down, I'm going to get capped. I'm going to get full, and my relationship's not going to go anywhere. I have to pour out in order to receive more. So section one is hallowed be your name. Hallowed. 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 There's an A there. Hallowed be thy name. And hallowed means holy, unique, or set apart. May your name be recognized as holy. Now, does God need our help in being holy?
No.
God is holy enough on his own. He doesn't need our help at all. But how many times have we texted OMG? That's still the Lord's name in vain.
I don't. I text OM goodness.
I know you text OM goodness. Yeah. Or OM gosh. Still, when
I'm shorthand for OM goodness.
But anyway, like, we're still using the Lord's name in vain when we do the world known OMG. It's an account to us to keep his name and reputation of being restored to that holy place.
Right. And I really think in the context of the Lord's Prayer, this whole line is outlining our relationship that we should have with God. He's as close as a father, but still he's holy. So that we should understand the dichotomy of the relationship that we're in. We're in this sweet, close relationship, but that he is still large and in charge, holy beyond words, incredible and amazing, that we not lose sight of his glory just because he's so close and near.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Really nice said. Well done. Yeah. Good job.
Curling in my corner with my headache.
Oh, you poor thing. That's why you made me take over. Okay.
No. We had that planned.
Yeah. Okay. So, holy, hallowed be your name, praying for restoration and the knowing of the Father. Okay. And now we're going to go into your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, long here on earth as it is in heaven. Yes. Yes. Missed that part. Good job. Here on earth as it is in heaven. Now, half the time, we only know half the truth. Jesus came, he died on earth, he goes back to heaven. End of story. But that's not entirely true. Jesus actually, when he rises up again, he is now, like, enthroned, which means his kingdom is now not only in heaven, but on earth as well.
Well, he comes back and inherits his blessing, and he regains dominion over the earth, which this is a long topic. We'll talk about in a couple weeks when we discuss sin. But the dominion that was originally given to humankind, he comes back and restores.
Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, I got some hard questions of my own. Has his kingdom come? I think we just established yes.
So, my understanding of it is that his kingdom is here and can be experienced now. And that's also a long explanation, but the human bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit, which literally means that we are all individual temples and that his kingdom can be experienced within our experience with the Holy Spirit at the helm.
And then my next question is, has it overlapped every corner of the world?
No. No, and that's what we're supposed to be trying to do, right? So to put flesh on this part of the prayer, we can be praying for missionaries. We can be praying for our church leaders. We can be praying for ministries. We can be praying for God to show us who we're supposed to talk to and touch today with the Holy Spirit, who we're supposed to minister to, and who we're supposed to bring to Christ today. Like, that's how you put flesh on that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. My next question, has it come into your life as a disciple?
Yes,
because we have the Holy Spirit.
Well, and we're here, right?
Yeah.
And we're here.
Yes.
Has
the Holy Spirit been allowed full access to transform every inch of your life?
Yeah, never. That's dumb. No, that's not how that works, right?
Did you say it was dumb?
No, I said that's just not how that works. Like, we just have it. We're coming into submission in greater and greater amounts every day, I hope, if we're growing as Christians. And then I'm biting at the chomp. I don't know what the actual phrase is, but I'm really wanting to pop in and say something about something that I love about this particular portion of the prayer. And if you don't say it soon, I'm just going to blurt it out.
Okay, well, I'll just finish by saying this is the love God section. This is where we actually place our allegiance. This is where, you know, in schools we say the Pledge of Allegiance and to the Christian flag and to the Bible every day at school. This is our allegiance to God, saying, God, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are you going to say, Mom?
So what I was going to say is that one of those things is I hear a lot of people say when bad things happen on earth, like bad things happen on earth because of sin. Okay, like we do that as humans. We allowed sin to enter and it kind of sucks, okay? And that causes bad things to happen on earth. And I think that we have this misnomer that because God is broadly in charge of things, that he is intricately involved when bad things happen. And I just wanted to point out that if we're saying his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, that implies that his will is not always done on earth. And we know that. We know that intrinsically because the Bible says that God would will that all would be saved. But not all people are saved, right? So we know that his will isn't always done on earth. But I think that sometimes we have a tendency to blame God as if he's some, like, split personality. Most of the time he's good, but sometimes he's not good. Because bad things happen to us, and we need to understand that he allows free will and human will, which introduces opportunity for sin, and that sin is not God's will. That's not his perfect will. That we're praying for his perfect will to come to fruition here on earth, just like it already is in heaven.
Nicely said.
Thanks.
All right, we're going into section two. We just took care of love God. Now we're 11 minutes. Wow, okay. Do it. Love God. Now we're doing love people. All right, there are three things Jesus says we need: bread, forgiveness, deliverance from temptation. Remember, the focus is not just me and God, but also me, God, and people. Where are you focusing on in this next prayer? First thing is bread. Give us this daily bread. Jesus loved to refer back to the Old Testament. Who needed bread?
Elijah.
Well, Elijah was one of them, but I'm thinking the Israelites when they got manna. Manna actually means what? Exclamation point, question mark. What? Because it's bread crystals that would, like, dissolve at the end of the day. Like, it's really like a giant question mark kind of bread. And in the world advertises that we're the captain of our own ship. If we need to get anywhere in life, we got to work hard and earn our keep. But for God, it's a constant reminder that I'm your provider, and there are people that I need you to come help partner with me in providing for them as well. When we realize the gifts that we have, like bread and food and clothing on our back, is a gift from God, it's a lot easier to share with others. It's not just thank you for my daily bread, but thank you for the provision I have to help others.
Right, right, right. And when they're saying thank you for our daily bread, again, let's put flesh on it. What are your needs for today? We're not talking about your wants, but what are the things that you need to get through the day? That's what we're asking God to provide, whatever it is, his power, his strength, provision for physical needs. That's what we're asking for there. That's how we put meat on that bone.
Well said, well said. All right, and forgive us our debts as we forget debtors. Now, this is important because even after the prayer, Jesus says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So I guess this whole forgiveness thing is kind of important.
It is. And I'm going to say that this is one of the areas where when we don't put meat on this prayer, it makes me a little sad because we're not just supposed to like rattle off, forgive me my debts as I forgive those who debt against me. That section should be, God, please forgive me for this sin that I committed, this sin that I committed, in this way where I've gone astray from you, for not surrendering this part of my life to you. Like, there are specifics there. And then it's that opportunity to say, please help me to forgive David who wronged me by doing this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the flesh that goes on that bone really matters.
And with that, like, there, this whole section, like, it was a hard one because forgiveness, it's hard, you know, because if cross wrongs me, it is my right to get even. It is my free will to get even, but two wrongs don't make a right. But that's the history of mankind, was constantly wronging each other and trying to get even and invoking an eye for an eye. It's in the Bible, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a nail for a nail, and scratches all over.
I don't know, but Cross would never wrong you. He's so wonderful.
Oh. I know, lady. I didn't do my prayer today. But anyway. Anyway. So what I'm getting at is mankind, we kind of spiral down in trying to get even, and it becomes like a vortex spiral where it's spiraling, and goes further down to the point where you can't get up. And Jesus, he dies on the cross, and people are putting him on there, and instead of getting even, he stops the spiral and says, I forgive, and the waters are quiet and over. But I wanted to remind people that have trouble with forgiveness in difficult relationships. Forgiveness isn't shrugging it off or brushing it under the rug. Sometimes when somebody does us wrong, we say, oh, it's okay. No. There are still consequences. That doesn't mean that there's no consequences. It's naming the issue and choosing to let go of the right of getting even. And wishing, getting to a place where you're not wanting to retaliate, but just hoping to wish them well.
Well, and vengeance belongs to the Lord. Actually, so we were at church today and Pastor Julie Massoneri of Cornerstone.
Not today. It's too early to go to church.
It's too early to go to church, right. So yesterday we were at church. Pastor Julie Massoneri, Sunday. Wow, I missed a day. I don't know how that happened.
It was two.
So Pastor Julie Massoneri was talking about Joseph in Genesis. He's talking about the story of Joseph, and he's talking about how the person who wronged you, like, remember when Joseph's brothers throw him into the pit, and then they sell him, and they go to sell him into slavery. But before they sell him into slavery, he's still sitting at the bottom of the cistern, right? And do you know what they do while he's sitting there? They go and eat lunch. They're not stressed about his situation. And his point was, the people who have wronged you, they're eating lunch. They're not thinking about you. So the problem with unforgiveness isn't just that it's holding them accountable. We think about how nice it is to release somebody from their culpability, but the truth of the matter is, the captive is not them. The captive is you. You're the one who has your mind tied up on the evil that to you, but they're just sitting there eating lunch.
It's the whole drinking poison and hoping the other person dies.
Right, right, right. Absolutely, exactly. So, yeah.
All right, so I'm trying to go fast. I'm trying. There's just so much. Okay. So, temptation and deliverance. Does God have a habit of tempting people? No. can all say that with no doubt. If you doubt me, then go talk to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Also, with the whole forgiveness thing, this is just a mic drop here. But if you're having trouble with forgiveness, y'all best pray, because as disciples, we are called to forgive. And if you claim that you're a Christian, I have to hold you by that standard. So I just called myself out. But anyway, okay, back to temptation and deliverance. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But yes, Jesus himself. Nah, I'm good. I only got 5 minutes. But yeah, stop distracting me. Okay, does God have a habit of tempting? No. But we are called to get into situations where there is temptation. Look at Jesus. He's in the desert. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's in places where it's hard, and he doesn't really like it. Was the desert situation where he's hungry, he's needing support, was that enjoyable for him? What do you think, Cross?
Probably not.
No, that was the worst thing ever. No, he's hungry, and the devil's constantly being like, hey, I got food, or you can make food. You're the Son of God. You can do it. But God, Jesus, he's faithful. And so Jesus envisions tough times coming for us and encouraging us to earnestly tell God, like, hey, I'm struggling, and this is a temptation for me. It's like I told this one person who is mad at God, and was like, did you pray about it? And she was like, well, no. I was like, girl, he already know you mad. You might as well just pray and get it off your chest. It's not for God. It's for you. Acknowledge it. Get it out. Deliverance is when we're getting deliverance not from the temptation, but deliverance from the voice of temptation and saying, you can do it. You should do it. You should totally leave this situation. You shouldn't tell your friend because it'll be difficult. But deliverance can come unto death. Trials are not the Father abandoning us. Trials are us coming stronger and being that firefly light for somebody to find their way to the arms of Jesus. And so that's in conclusion of the highest values of kingdom and ethics. Love God, love people. This is the skeletal structure. So, our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and all of our needs, and kind of adding, and forgive us our debts as we forgive debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Can I just, I want to pop in and say something that I might have missed because I was looking up a verse for you. Who delivers us?
God.
God delivers us, right?
Yeah.
But who initiates delivery through prayer? We do.
We do.
Okay. So we pray, God deliver us. And by the way, that's kind of the pattern through the Bible. What the Bible says, that if you call out to me, I'll hear you. That's really important. So again, this is, let's put flesh on that bone. Deliver us from the evil. When we're going through a struggle, when we're going through a hard time, like, it's really important that we call out to God and say, God, I'm struggling here. God, I'm having this problem, you know, this, that, or the other, because he is the one who will deliver us. But our obligation, according to the word of God, is to call out, and then he'll answer us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that gets flesh.
You're going into a break?
Yeah, we're getting ready to go to a break. Look, you finished with 25 seconds to spare.
That's awesome. So now we're going to have some questions for you guys. So go ahead and give us a call at 319-527-6208. Show us your smarts. And
press 1, or that'll put you in queue.
Love to talk to you. Let us know what your thoughts are.
All right, we'll see you after the commercial break.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday
on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolli, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolli, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
My fellow Americans, it looks like some things have changed. Are we doing a good enough job teaching our children what America is and what she represents? Younger parents aren't sure that an appreciation of America is the right thing to teach modern children.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
When I drive into a neighborhood and there are American flags, it's a message of white supremacy.
I'm warning of an eradication of the American memory that could result in an erosion of the American spirit.
We need to completely dismantle the police department.
If we forget what we did, we won't know who we are. We've got to do a better job of getting across that America is free, and freedom is special and rare. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of enterprise. As long as we remember our first principle and believe in ourselves, the future will always be ours. Ours was the first revolution in the history of mankind that truly reversed the course of government, and with three little words, we the people. We the people are free. Once you begin a great movement, there's no telling where it'll end.
Do you buy from Amazon? If you do, do you use Amazon Smile? Amazon Smile is a program Jeff Bezos set up to donate to 501c3 nonprofits. If you go to smile.amazon.com and designate Barefoot is Legal as your nonprofit, Jeff Bezos donates 0.5% of your purchase price to our charity. We need your support to fund our operations and promote the Barefoot lifestyle. It does not cost you anything. Please consider helping us out. Go to smile.amazon.com and add Barefoot is Legal as your favorite nonprofit and help us fight for freedom. Thank you.
And we're back live with Dynamic Word Bible Studies, where God's Word ignites powerful change.
My host takeover is over.
She's been put back in her place. I'm host again. Are you sad about that?
I had so much power.
Was it harder than you thought?
It was glorious. My reign will be remembered in history. Yeah, sure. Over when we talk about baptism, so.
Oh, you're going to take it. I got to tell you, I have some really good stuff on baptism. So I don't know when that's going to be, but I think that you and I are going to be able to rock that. Because we did some study on baptism in one of my classes. So now it's time for our question and answer. And this is the time where you as an audience are encouraged to participate, to call in, to let us know what's going on. Our guest call-in number, 319-527-6208. Please press 1 to be put in the queue. You can actually listen to the entire show on the phone like that, in case you guys didn't know. But if you push 1, you'll be put into our switchboard as a caller,
and it'll let me know that you want to talk to us. That number again, 319-527-6208. We do have the chat open as well if you're going to blogtalkradio.com, and I will be able to see your comment there under Freedomizer Radio. That's me on the chat board. So, questions and answers regarding prayer. Guys, and again, I will apologize in advance. I wrote these questions a couple weeks ago. So
they're going to be pointed?
If they're pointed and they hurt, it was a minute ago and I didn't do it on purpose, okay? All right. So do you ever feel the pressure to engage in more eloquent or impressive sounding prayers?
Whenever I have to pray out loud.
Yeah. Then you feel like you have to sound educated and King James Version-y?
Oh, yeah. Or even, like, prophetic.
Okay.
Just making up stuff.
Yeah, that's super not good either, right?
Really, like, not. It's really not. Don't do that.
Right, right. Because, like, you know, they used to be encouraged to stone the prophets when they did that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, we never want to say that God said something he didn't say, right?
Mm-hmm. Usually, like, whenever in Scouts, like I mentioned before, I got elected as chaplain's aide. So I'm just praying in the meetings, praying out. I always feel like I have to say something more. But usually we're on, like, a time schedule, so I have to keep my prayers usually, like, not short but not long either. So it's, like, at that midpoint.
Okay.
That fast punch, one-liner prayer.
Right, right. Concise and sweet, right? Okay, but you can feel a little bit of a pressure. Oh, my gosh. I shouldn't rest on the keyboard, y'all. Okay, so sometimes you can feel a little pressure to have to, like, sound smarter or more spiritual, you know. Let's see here. What things are you thankful for today that you can lift up in a prayer of thanksgiving? We do this exercise for Thanksgiving every year.
Ah, I remember.
And we try to play a game to see who can come up with the most things to be thankful for. We take turns rotating out what we're thankful for, right?
Really, just whoever gets bored the quickest.
The fastest, yes.
Never me. I'm very thankful.
I felt like I'd beaten you once or twice.
I think you have.
Okay.
I don't know if I ever won that game.
But what things do you think, if you were going to pray right this second, what could you say? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
If you guys don't know, that's a reference to a VeggieTales cartoon about St. Patrick. Think.
I watched that this morning, St. Patrick.
You did?
Yeah. Not VeggieTales, but I watched St. Patrick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's still.
St. Patrick's VeggieTales after this.
Right, right, right. What was it? Luffy's,
well, there was a short
board.
But if you're trying to watch it, it's the sumo wrestling one.
Okay.
Yeah, that one.
It's a funny little short.
But yes, things to be thankful for. I always, well, not always, but I'm trying to get in the habit of where we say, thank you so much for the sunrise. Thank you for fresh air. Thank you for wanting to use me for another day. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, for restoring my soul to my body and giving me rest. May you use me for another day.
Wow, that sounded really eloquent.
It did sound eloquent, but when you think of what I'm saying, blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe. Thank you for restoring my soul and giving me rest.
Where does that come from, Mariah?
The Taliban!
So it actually doesn't come from the Taliban.
No,
this is like a thing, okay? So
from the Torah.
It is from the Torah.
Ah.
And it has to do with how they pray over the Sabbath. And we went to a Sabbath, a Seder, do you remember? A while. It was a long time ago, and that is actually how they start out all the prayers. Hi, Caitlin. Would you like to say hello to our radio audience today? She was wondering what we're doing. We're on the radio. I have one shy child. That's the shy child. She is sneaking out without saying hello because she's a shy one. But yes, that actually comes from the pattern of prayer that they do during the Sabbath, not just the High Holy Sabbath, but every Sabbath, which is why it's featured in The Chosen. Because that is actually very, I'm going to say most assuredly how Jesus would have prayed, because that was the tradition on the Sabbath, and he was Jewish, right? Mm-hmm. So what would you be thankful for today, dude? Put you on the spot.
Mostly that we can spread the gospel and be God's witnesses and tell other people about Jesus this morning, and that God's using us for another day.
What about Legos? Are you thankful for Legos?
Yeah, and a soft pillow to sleep on.
A soft pillow to sleep on. I mean, like, I'm just saying, there's really important things, and then there's other stuff to be thankful for. I'm thankful for my nail polish. I like nail polish. Don't give me that look. I can be thankful for dumb things. It's okay. It makes me happy. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for my husband. I'm thankful that my car works. I'm thankful that my dog's not sick anymore. Man, that was worrying me, that poor pup. He was not feeling good. Like, I can come up with 1,000 things to be thankful for. I am thankful for my comfy T-shirt right now. Like, I got my cozy clothes on. We're in our house clothes. I'm comfy for my I'm thankful for my comfy shorts.
I'm thankful for Zoom meetings, so you can actually just slap on a T-shirt, run a comb through your hair, and then you can just wear sweatpants.
Sweatpants on the bottom. I'm pretty sure that all the news reporters do that. Yeah, underneath the desk, they're wearing their fluffy slippers. Okay, so let's talk about whose faith has been inspiring to you, because the thing that Paul says he's thankful for is for the faithfulness of the church, right? And why are you thankful for their example? Anybody want to give a shout out to someone?
Hey, Miss Christie, I love you so much. You were an awesome Sunday school teacher and a great mentor now. And my Pastor Lisa. Pastor Lisa is an awesome mentor as well. Whenever she has reminded me constantly when I'm going through a bad time, just raise your hand and say, God, I love you. Just over and over again, I love you. And it's so good. It's so good. You guys are awesome.
How about you, Cross? You got anybody in mind?
I really want to give a shout out to Miss Ali. She was my Sunday school teacher in the fifth grade, and she's just really awesome. I especially liked her teachings and how she saw things. Sometimes she would use. She actually grew up in Hawaii, so she would sometimes use Hawaiian words. Hawaiian words to actually get the depiction of God that she was looking for.
That's awesome. I'm going to actually give a shout-out to a family in our church. There's a couple of them that I think really deserve a note. I'm going to say the Milburns. They are this rock star family who adopted 3 children. They have some special needs going on. They are such amazing parents. They've gone through a lot of challenges themselves personally, and then they had another child biologically, so they have 4 beautiful, amazing children, and thankful to see their faithfulness and how they share the Lord with their kids. They homeschool their kids. They're 100% committed to their kids and wrap their life around serving the Lord through their children and their family. Such a really, really great family. Like, I could honestly keep going on and on and on. But the other family that I wanted to, like, give a shout out to is the Stafford family. The Staffords are this just amazing family in our church. Joe and Tammy specifically are who I'm thinking of, although their children are adults now, and their children are incredible human beings, like truly amazing human beings. But I wanted to mention them because we haven't mentioned them before on our show, but they've gone through a couple of really, really rough personal tragedies, including losing children. And because of the fact that they're in leadership with our church, it was a pretty public thing. I think that it's hard to go through these sorts of things, but in particular in public, but they did it with such graciousness and such grace. And you could see that even though they were facing these hardships and truly terrible things, how faithful God was being in their life and how they continued to trust him through these very difficult times. They are absolutely an inspiration to me, because I know when I face something that's hard, I lean into that experience of watching them go through some of the most difficult and challenging things I can think of going through in a lifetime and still glorifying God and finding that joy that surpasses all understanding and peace that surpasses all understanding in those tragic moments. And I really feel like they've been a powerful example in our church of that. So I'm really thankful because you know how they say that your bad experience becomes the life raft that someone else holds on to when things get tough for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's absolutely true of that family, and I commend them. You know, I really wish God's best for them. They're an amazing family. So next question. And remember, you can call in and add to this. In fact, I did give Miss Christy the link, so she may be listening live now.
Miss Christy, I love you!
If you're there, give us a shout-out, call in. You can chat. If not, I'll make sure that you get the recording so that you get to hear a shout-out there. Guest call in again, 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press the number 1 to be put into queue. Otherwise, we'll just keep talking amongst ourselves because, you know, I enjoy my kids. I really enjoy my kids' company. So I homeschool you guys. I just can't get enough of you. Right?
Aw, thanks.
Right?
Yay.
Yay. Yay. He's still at the age where he still likes me. We'll see how he thinks about me when he's a teenager. But
I still like you.
I'm so glad. What would change for you if you were aware of God's constant word away type presence? Cross is giving me this amazing face. He doesn't like that question, do you? Why don't you like that question, bud?
I feel so pointed to, like, everyone.
To everyone. Like, you know, I think that this was actually one of those things that I am onboarded super early as a Christian. I came to faith at about 16 years old. I started going to church at 19 and really learning about the Lord then. And once I understood that the Holy Spirit was like with me, living inside me, that my body is his temple, like it suddenly made me recognize all the sorts of things that I wouldn't want to do if Jesus was sitting on the couch next to me. And then realizing that the Holy Spirit is actually within me, like literally I'm taking God through all these experiences. So the things that I watch, the things that I say, he's always that ever presence. You know what I'm saying? And that's not meant to be scary, but it's meant to say, how would I run my life differently? You know? And one of the things that I do to try to run my life differently is like, I try to make sure that I'm keeping myself doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing, you know, and staying away from things that maybe we wouldn't consider holy. We wouldn't consider something that the Lord would want us to do. I don't know. What do you guys think? Anyone? Nobody likes this question but me. They're like, stop calling me out. maybe instead of road raging, we would pray.
Extremely pointed to one individual in this room.
Oh, that's only because Cross doesn't drive yet.
Oh, but when I do... But when I do, the things I'll say.
Oh.
You didn't know. That's the problem. You can never say you didn't know now. That'll be direct disobedience, not ignorance.
Man, that's rough. All right, let's try a different question then. And I'm going to remind you guys of this call-in number. We've got about 11 minutes left. So if you want to call in, now is the time. 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Remember to press 1 so that you come into our queue. Let's see here. Oh, how much more would you pray if you were practicing a mentioning type of a prayer habit? That I'm just going to throw your name up and mention I can pray right now, and it doesn't have to be, you know, anointing oil and prayer closet, fasting and praying type prayer.
I think I kind of already do that, but I do it in my head. I think it'd be a lot more effective if I did it out loud.
Okay.
Because our words have power, you know, and so when we're saying it out loud, it's like a royal decree, because you know how like kings, everything that they ever said was always written down, but nobody knows what's going on in their head. But when we're praying out loud, like even the demons around us, they'll be able to hear the decrees as a co-heir of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also feel that there's power, especially in the prayers that are connected to promises that God's given you in the Bible. Like, I really feel like God is just, he and you know, all of heaven is just waiting to be able to fulfill the promises that he has made and waiting for us to speak them out in faith. So I think that that's actually really important. So let's see here. We've got at least one more question, but I think we can probably talk a little bit about the Lord's Prayer too, because I wrote this on my teaching. I didn't have your teaching at the time, right? Mm-hmm. We're meant to pray in harmony with God's will. What are some of the, we already talked about this, right? What are some of the ways that we can know that we're doing that? And one of the things, so this was the thing that I did. Remember when COVID hit way back and we just had all this time at home? One of the things that I learned to do at that time was to pray God's promises and to pray them in an active voice. In other words, not just saying things like, well, God, I thank you that you will rescue me, but I would pray as it being the present tense. I thank you that you are rescuing me now. You know what I mean?
I think also a simplified version of that is the two great commandments, love God, love people. Where's your heart when you're praying for them? Are you praying like Jonah, God smite these people with fire, the heavenly fire, or like the sons of thunder? Is it with James and John? They're like, you should burn down these people with holy fire.
This is a reference to The Chosen, by the way, not an actual biblical reference here. So if you haven't seen The Chosen, go and watch it.
But anyway, the point is
after our show.
Yeah.
But the point is am I coming to the throne room with a heart of love in holyship to, that's not a real word, sorry, am I with reverence to God, that's the right word, am I coming to the throne room with reverence to God, my love and allegiance to God, and my love for people? And that doesn't mean that when you're struggling or when you're angry not to pray. No, by all means, that's, you should pray when you're going through that. If you're not praying for that, then I'm going to pray for you. But if you're like, oh, is this really the right thing? Or are you coming at it with love? Are you coming at it with wanting to change your heart to have his love instead of human love? Or are you coming at it with just wanting to get revenge?
Well, yeah, and there is that whole, like, part in the Bible where it says to kick the dust off your shoes if you're not received. But say that, right? Mm-hmm. So that's not to say that you can't pray what your heart is, but you're definitely praying in accordance to God's will when you're praying according to his promises.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the things that he says are his will in his Bible. A lot of times people say, well, how do you know what God's will is? Well, you know, you don't always know his full and complete will, but you get a good start if you just read what's in the Bible and accept that as his will, right? And then you can move forward from there. But I think that most of us probably haven't onboarded most of what the Bible says about what God's will is, you know? And so we need to do that first. Let's see, in the Lord's Prayer, is there anything that we need to add in to that to flesh it out? Is there someone you need to forgive today? Even if that person is yourself, maybe you've messed up sometimes and maybe God's forgiven you and you've asked for forgiveness from God, but you just can't let yourself go. Yeah, that's going to speak to somebody, right? Because I'm usually doing that. Forgiveness is a consistent practice. It's something that we have to do often. I find that a lot of times I lay down a situation or a person and I ask God to help me forgive them. And then the very next day I'm in there just frustrated about the situation or the person again. I have to lay it down again. Go ahead.
I have a quote where it's, prayer is not a dead ritual. The problem is us, not the practice. So how are you practicing and making sure it's alive and healthy and not something dead and just, what is it? When you're repeating something over and over again, what's that word? Going through the motions.
So we want to make sure that we're an active, engaged participant in the prayer. One of the things that I wanted to kind of point out that I think that we can at this point, we were talking about deliver us not into temptation. Okay. Or what is it? Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. And there's a key, and at some point I'm sure we'll have time to do a whole teaching on this as a support teaching, like what we did with the Lord's Prayer today for the scripture. But one of the amazing things that you can do to continue to walk in the Spirit when you're faced with temptation is to start praying in tongues. Mm-hmm. Remember in James, it says that the tongue guides the entire ship, guides the entire body, right? Just like a rudder guides the entire ship. It's the smallest instrument, but it determines the direction that you go. And when you're praying in tongues, you're yielding your tongue to the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
which yields your entire body, all of your flesh, to the Holy Spirit.
Well, raise your hand if you've prayed in tongues.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, okay. So, and probably not everyone has, and that's okay. Doesn't mean that you're not, that you haven't had the Holy Spirit, but it's a gift that's promised. So if you haven't received that gift, then I encourage you to pray to receive that gift because it's amazing. It is basically this great way that you can start by yielding that one part of your body. It because James is right. The way that our tongue is going, first of all, it's going to show the overflow of our heart, right? And if the overflow of our heart is something ugly and nasty, it's going to come out in our words, right? But if we're faced with temptation, the temptation tempts our flesh. It's always tempting our physical wants, needs, and desires, right? And so when we're in that moment of temptation, if we can yield our tongue to the Holy Spirit, it really does turn the course and align our flesh with the Holy Spirit. Crazy, crazy thing. So we can really say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God doesn't lead you into temptation. This was the verse that you were quoting. He leads us into temptation.
He leads us into temptations, but environments that have
us. He leads us into environments where we will be tempted. He is not tempting us himself, but doesn't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can handle, it says. In other words, he's allowing temptation, but not the source of temptation. Doesn't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can handle, and he always gives us an escape. And one of those ready escapes that I think is oft overlooked is the fact that we can just start to pray in tongues.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like what my pastor often says, where it's like, did Jesus destroy sin? No. He destroyed the power of sin. So there's still going to be sin, there's still going to be a temptation, but the power of it over us is no longer, like, it's like you are now accountable to Christ. Mm-hmm. And so are you going to be accountable to Christ, or are you going to be accountable to yourself?
Right, right, right. We're going to be mastered by someone. And if we're mastered by ourselves, we're mastered by our sin and our flesh. So a lot of times we go, well, I'm not a slave to anybody, but if you're a slave to yourself, then you are. You're a slave to your sin, your flesh, your own desires, which is not better, right? So anyway, but you're going to serve someone, serve the Lord,
yeah.
Right? So that's it for us today. That wraps us up. Thank you so much for joining us for Dynamic Word Bible Studies. I hope you enjoyed it. Would love to hear from you. If you enjoyed it, please visit us on Facebook. And come and see us again next Wednesday from 9 to 10:30. Next Wednesday, we're going to be talking about being unashamed. The power of the gospel to change lives.
Yeah.
And we're going to have Rachel on as a guest, and she has a lot to talk about, so I hope you can join us. Have a wonderful day.
Bye.